Our epistle for this Feast of the Most Holy Trinity is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him that recompense should be made him? For from him, and through him, and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, today we celebrate the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. It is the greatest of the mysteries of our faith, one that we cannot understand because of the limitless of our ability, of our intellect. This is a mystery which has been revealed, and by faith, we believe in it. Every time we begin our prayers and we make that sign of the cross and we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we are called on to profess this mystery. But how many times do we make it somewhat of a routine and we don't think? When we're opening up communication to God, it is almost done out of habit without full knowledge. How many of us today, when we began Mass, paid attention to this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. In this day and age in which we live in, the name of God is not called upon to communicate with him, not as much as it's called upon as an exclamation of surprise or anger, and definitely something that we should have nothing to do with, not just in surprise or anger, but in vanity, using God's name, for that's the command of God, the second of the Ten Commandments: thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So there are a few considerations, I think, that we ought to have on a feast such as today. How many of you parents ever have a child who was disobedient or disrespectful, or had those children ignore you, or perhaps turn on you? How many of us have had friends, or who we thought were friends, stab us in the back? Fair weather friends. When the going gets tough, the friends get going. Friends who betrayed us. How many have given love and that love has been unreturned? Or have others careless about the love we have given to them? Or those tokens of love that are given in forms of gifts go unappreciated, misused, abused, or with a shallow thank you of gratitude? In these considerations, when we consider ourselves and our relationship with God, isn't this how we treat him far too often, or many, I should say, treat him far too often? Christ tells us to address God as our Father. He has begotten us, created us. It says in Psalms, "Lord, what is man that thou shouldst remember him? But what is man? Man is a creation of God. God loved the idea of you so much that he brought you into existence. Infinite is this love of the Heavenly Father. God so loved the world to send his only begotten Son. How many of us pray to the Heavenly Father as a dear child, a dear and loving child? How many of us do that daily? Or how many just wait for what seems to be appropriate, perhaps during a Sunday service or during a time of need and tragedy? Is this all God deserves? The Son so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that he gave his life for our salvation. He not only shed his blood, but he taught us a way. And he tells us, learn of me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Truly a friend to save us from the snares of the devil and from the abyss of the hell, which no doubt, if we are honest with ourselves, we deserve. For as many times as we turned our back on God and his goodness. But how many so nonchalantly take this great act of redemption? The Son also, having redeemed us, gave us opportunity and ability. Opportunity for holiness. Ability to get to heaven. Empowers us after having left by sending his Spirit, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, to sanctify us, to make us realize how it was that we were created. How was it that we were created? If we read in Scripture, in the book of Genesis, we read God saying, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." How is man made in the image and likeness of God? Well, what is revealed of God? Three persons, one God. Three unique persons, but one God. And we reflect, and we can only reflect God when we have those three in one. Body, soul, the life of God in our soul, sanctifying grace. Three in one. But it's only those souls that understand this mystery and understand that they must live this mystery that will find themselves pleasing to God and fulfilled in this life, knowing they're living for their true purpose, which is not this life, but eternal life. So we have a few questions that I think it's important for us to ask ourselves. Do I consider myself God's child? I'm not just saying one of those nice thoughts that we throw out there. That sounds good. I'm God's child. If I really consider myself God's child, then what is my prayer like when I say, "Our Father, who art in heaven"? If I consider myself God's child, I live accordingly. We keep his commandments. Next question, how do I follow Christ? Do I follow him when it's convenient, or do I follow him daily? And do I try to perfect my way towards him? Doing away with everything that would distract me from pursuing Christ. When talking about the Holy Spirit, do I embrace him as he wishes to embrace me? Or is it just an afterthought that I say at the end of prayer? Do his gifts within me flourish? Have I made good use of those gifts? Or do they go unappreciated? We are reminded whenever we pray, and hopefully we pray each day, many times throughout the day, but when we open up our communication with God, we call upon the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then we talk to God and we allow God to talk to us. This great prayer of Mass, which you are at today, began with that, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, reminding us of that mystery. Throughout the Mass, we are reminded of this great mystery. There's one unique highlight, which I like to think about, is that the Kyrie. The Kyrie is not Latin. It's a different language. It's Greek. The first three Kyries remind us of the Father. The Christes, of course, Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And the third set of Kyries, the Holy Spirit. But each one is said three times to remind us they're part of the Trinity, the triune God. Three distinct persons, one God. And what are we asking for? Mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Among the many reminders that we have at Mass, right after the sermon, Father's going to go up there and there's going to be the profession of faith, the Nicene Creed, that's prayed. And in it, you're reminded of the mystery revealed of the Trinity and the working of God with us in creation, in redemption, in sanctification. But the one that I like to end with today would be the Sanctus, where the bells are rang. And the Sanctus, meaning in English, holy. And it said three times, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. This comes from the Apocalypse, where it says, the blessed in heaven unceasingly in their praise cry out, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Why three holies? The three persons in one God. And we are called to join with Holy Mother of the Church during Mass and to praise God in this way. But it's not just a nice idea that we say during Mass. It's something that we have to live. As our Lord taught us to pray when he taught us the Our Father, on earth as it is in heaven. If we want to be blessed on earth, then it's important that we imitate the blessed in heaven, crying out daily, unceasingly, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. On account of our fallen human nature, this is hard. We're so distracted so easily by the world, by our fallen human nature, and by others. But we're not alone. We have been given instruments to help us. Among those instruments, our Blessed Mother, she who was daughter of God the Father, mother of God the Son, a unique spouse of the Holy Spirit, this woman we call Mother Mary. And we ask her daily to pray for us so that we realize in time our true value. The value not that man puts on us or that the world puts on us, but the value that God gives to us. And so we live our life accordingly and praise God daily. And as we do it in time, we will continue to do it in eternity. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.